And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he should be called John." Now remember, Elizabeth has not spoken to her husband. This is something she received through the Holy Spirit. She didn't have an angel come talk to her. The angel came to Zacharias. And she just conceived a son and knew what it meant. And she says, "No, his name is John." Very in tune with the Spirit of God is Elizabeth. And they said to her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by that name." They thought, what, you know, it's funny. These days, you know, they go right to the mother. "Well, what's he going to call him, Mom?" In those days, there were people just giving birth. They're like, "Well, what do we call him?" And then the mother's sitting there having given birth. And they're like, "Well, what do we call this child? Let's call him Zacharias like his dad." Yeah. You know, they're about to circumcise her baby. And they said, "Well, we'll call him Zacharias after his father." These are men sitting around. And the mother's sitting there. They don't even consult with her. And then she says, no, he's going to be called John. And they're looking at her like, "What? In your family, they're called Zacharias, Eleazar, Ithamar," or whatever. I'm just making things up. You know, they call them all in this, you know, your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather. There's a series of names, and it's traditional. Let's name them after someone else in the family, which adds to a lot of confusion sometimes in genealogies. And the mother said, "No, John." And then verse 62, "And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, 'His name is John.' And they marveled all. And his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwell round about them, and all these things were noised about abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, 'What manner of child shall this be?' And the hand of the Lord was with him." So hold on a second. I like that. You see, Zacharias, in faith, says his name is John. Remembering the words of the angel, he will call his name John. And knowing that Elizabeth had no knowledge of this, or I'm assuming that, but it's reasonable to assume. And they marveled that he agreed with her. And immediately, when these things were fulfilled, his mouth was opened, his tongue was loose, and he spake and he praised God. And everyone was like, "Whoa! Wow, what is this? What kind of child is this going to be?" Verse 67. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which hath been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant to us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him together without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. So he would not be raised in the temple as a priest, but specially brought out into the wilderness to be raised a prophet in the ways of the prophets, was John the Baptist. Zacharias, his father, a man who followed the law and knew the scriptures, a man of God, still falling into that trap of questioning the angel and being struck dumb. But now that his tongue is loose, he makes his prophecy concerning John and concerning the Messiah, knowing that John himself, his son, was coming in the spirit and power of Elijah. You know, because that's what the angel had told him. "Your son is that servant of the Lord who shall come in the power of Elijah. You will be the prophet of God." There hath no greater prophet arisen among men, so testified Jesus Christ. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. Because everyone is encompassed in Christ. We cannot be less nor more than him. We must be as him. And see here in the prophecy that Christ is the deliverer, the one who would deliver Israel, the one who yet will deliver Israel as a nation from the bondage that they are under. And this time, it's odd. And who knows what's going to happen in the future? Maybe they're going to come and be subject to a power outside of them. That would be something to be saved from. And certainly they will. If not the Arabs, the Antichrist will subject them to his power. And therefore, they will need a deliverer. And Christ will deliver them from the hand of their enemies, that they might serve him without fear. And that we could all serve him without fear. Not without fear of God, because we serve God in fear of God. But not in the kind of fear like, oh, what's he going to do to me? Fear, lest I should leave a promise. Lest I should have something undone. It is that kind of fear, the way I fear lest my wife should not be pleased. And she fears lest I should not have every comfort coming to me. But without fear of our enemies. Without fear of them that would destroy us. Because God, our God, is not here to destroy us, but to save us. And the fear towards God is entirely different in character than the fear of the enemy. Everything is relative to the relations that are between things. These things have to be judged on the Holy Spirit according to the relativity of from an enemy or from God, because God is not our enemy. Therefore, we do not fear him as we fear an enemy. And how do we serve him? In holiness and in righteousness. In holiness and in righteousness all the days of our life. I'll tell you why. Because in Titus chapter 2, the Apostle Paul describes it very clearly. He says this, that the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. Because this is the world in which we become like Christ. Not the next world. Don't say that, oh, when I'm dead, then I'll become perfect. Because if you're not accustomed to perfection now, you're certainly not going to fit it after the resurrection. Because you're going to go to judgment then. Well, Paul, are you perfect? I certainly will be. Well, you're not perfect, then who are you to talk? Well, who was Jesus to talk? Because he wasn't perfect either. Really? Read about it in Hebrews. It hath pleased God to make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus had to be perfected by suffering things.